She had not had an easy life. The little girl, who weighed only 10 pounds on her first birthday, had stayed small. She was almost childlike, remembered her cousin Mary. She was tiny. Yet Mary Jane, showing some of her mother's spirit, rose above the challenges she faced. "It was really remarkable," said Mary, "that she was able to hold down her job because she was so small. She was very sweet as an adult. Everyone liked her. We tried to invite her to all the functions of the family because, of course, she had no one." When Mary Jane received the request from CHR, she considered it carefully and then wrote back. "I have really developed a lot of medical problems," she told the doctors. "I realise now that most of them are probably a result of my mother's illness. If it is convenient and you wish me to do so, I would like to come up to Argonne Lab. I feel it is important for myself and for research." It seems Mary Jane was tested, adding her own contribution to science. On 16th of August 1984, she gave permission to the researchers to exhume her mother. "If this could help one person," she said, "it is worth it." And so, on 2nd of October 1984, Catherine Donoghue left St. Columba Cemetery for an unexpected journey. The scientists ran their tests, and she made her unique endowment to medical knowledge. Catherine was reinterred on 16th of August 1985, where she rests to this day beside her husband Tom. When Mary Jane wrote to CHR, she said, in an uncanny echo of her mother's final letter to Father Keane, "I pray all the time that God will let me live a long life. I certainly try hard enough to fight all the time for a life of fulfilment and happiness." But it was not to be. After a life full of physical challenges, Mary Jane Donoghue died, from heart failure, according to her relatives, on 17th of May 1990. She was 55 years old. For a long time, too long, the legacy of the Radium Girls was recorded only in the law books and in scientific files. But in 2006, an 8th-grade Illinois student called Madeline Piller read a book on the dial painters by Dr. Ross Molnar. "No monuments," he wrote, "have ever been erected in their memory." Madeline determined to change that. "They deserve to be remembered," she said. "Their courage brought forth federal health standards. I want people to know there is a memorial to these brave women." When she began to champion her cause, she found that Ottawa, at last, was ready to honour its native heroines and their comrades in arms. The town held fish fry fundraisers and staged plays to secure the $80,000 needed. "The mayor was supportive," said Len Grossman. "It was a complete turnaround. That was wonderful to see." On 2nd of September 2011, the bronze statue for the dial painters was unveiled by the governor in Ottawa, Illinois. It is a statue of a young woman from the 1920s with a paintbrush in one hand and a tulip in the other, standing on a clock face. Her skirt swishes, as though at any moment she might step down from her time-ticking pedestal and come to life. "The Radium Girls," the governor announced, "deserve the utmost respect and admiration because they battled a dishonest company, an indifferent industry, dismissive courts and the medical community in the face of certain death. I hereby proclaim 2nd of September 2011 as Radium Girls Day in Illinois, in recognition of the tremendous perseverance, dedication and sense of justice the Radium Girls exhibited in their fight.